This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Interviewing a friend is not easy, especially when that friend is the First Lady and when your questions aren't all that friendly. Well, last Tuesday afternoon in the upstairs living room at the White House, we talked with Nancy Reagan, a friend for 35 years. 1981 has been a happy year and a sad one for Mrs. Reagan. First, her husband's arrival at the presidency after years of striving, the two of them together, and then the shock of the assassination attempt. And since then, troubling controversy about the expensive White House renovation and the new White House china. Americans' feelings about Mrs. Reagan were reflected this past week in a Newsweek magazine poll. 57% of those questioned approve of the way that Mrs. Reagan has been handling her responsibilities as First Lady. But at the same time, 62% feel that she overemphasizes style and elegance at a time of federal budget cuts and economic hardship, and that she is less sympathetic to the problems of the poor than other First Ladies have been.
You're really hurt by some of the press that you've been getting. I mean, hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And were you unprepared for the scrutiny that you were going to get?
Yes, I really was. Although people, like everything else, had told me. But I really didn't think it would be as deep as it is.
First ladies traditionally have a pretty tough time of it, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I mean,
yes,
Eleanor Roosevelt, to those who didn't like her, she was a heroine to millions of Americans, and to millions of others, she was a busybody.
But she had a terrible time. She really had a terrible time.
And Pat Nixon was Plastic Pat, and your immediate predecessor was the Iron Magnolia.
Mm-hmm. First ladies, I don't know. It seems to... I've done... You know, a little, everybody's given me books to read, which I've tried to read, and it's fascinating. But they all seem to have those same kind of problems.
Why?
I don't know. This is veering away from what we're talking about. But along the same subject of First Ladies having a bad time, wouldn't it be nice if we could look at television or read the papers and read something wonderful and nice that's happened? It seems to me that all we read and all we hear are the terrible things that have happened, the nasty things that have happened. I know in today's world the news people have to talk about what's going on in the world, and there are terrible things that are going on in the world right now. But let's have a little balance. Let's try to bring people up and give them some hope and some encouragement and some moral values. Strong letter follows.
I guess what you really want for Christmas is for the press to take a fresh look at you.
That would be nice.
Take another look over 1982.
look at what I'm really doing.
Well, of course, this weekend we got the news that the former First Lady, Nancy Reagan, passed at the age of 94. And what a tender moment. I mean, you could really get a look into her heart, into her spirit. And, you could feel her pain at the same by the same token. I mean, you imagine living your life by polls. I mean, every morning you had to wake up and somebody's, hey, what's the poll today? Am I liked or am I not liked or does it matter? But here it was. There was no doubt that hers was a love story, her and one Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
And we all long for those days once again, regardless of the alleged opulence or whatever that went along with it. Right, guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's back with the man she once loved again. So something kind of feel good about that. You know what I mean? That they're together again now.
Well, yeah, and there was no doubt. I mean, when you hear of their relationship, it is quite quite noted, especially, you know, with some of the contrast of what has been in the White House when it comes to marriages and examples to the rest of the people. Theirs was a a real love relationship, and they definitely supported one another in a very special and unique way, and I think it all added to the richness and benefit of We the People. Thank God for one Nancy and Ronald Reagan. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Let us know what's on your mind. You know, what are you thinking about, okay? Your opinion counts here. If we're going to get this country back on track, this isn't a party kind of thing, a Republican or Democratic thing. It's about a United States. It's a We the People kind of thing, which means that, we all have a voice. And that's the way it works traditionally when you look at the empirical evidence of this country. When we are operating, at its most optimum was when we're all involved. So welcome in. Let's get involved. Let's get this country back on track. And it's not about one person. It's about all of us getting involved. Well, a recent headline is that a New York judge says the U.S. cannot make Apple provide iPhone data to the FBI. Now, this is a case in New York, not to be confused with what's happening in California. And here to explain is Michael Dougherty, senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm getting through it. I've got a little bit of that bug. See, every once in a while, you may hear my lungs stalling a little bit. I'm, trying to keep them calm, as they say, you know?
Oh, I'll do more of the talking then.
Okay, good. It's the Michael Dougherty show. That's great. Good. Okay. So tell us about this New York judge ruling.
All right. So this is on a meth case. So it's the same type of game, which is law enforcement going to Apple saying, we need your help. And, you know, the big picture, I think everyone has to understand, this is once again something with the new world, right? We are,
right.
Everything is mixed up. It used to be so clean where you had the bad guys over here, the good guys over there. We wanted to get into a physical space, we got a search warrant, you open the door, no overlap. The internet has put everyone in a corner. All the data, good data, is mixed up with the bad guy data. And there's probably, I'm sure, way more good guy data. But you get into the bad guy data, you got to touch the good guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we assume as Americans, I just find the left so ironic. It's like, my rights, my rights, my rights, which are very important, okay? But the irony is they also tend to hate, like, big corporations, but they idolize Apple.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, and it's just a big corporation with boatloads of profit margin and billions, which is all fine. But we're in a big problem here because we have to figure out how to keep ourselves safe in this mess. And what we forget is, in the old days, when we were in official war, our rights were put aside to a certain degree. When you're in war, your rights kind of get pushed off to the national security.
All fair and love and war, right?
Right, and we're in cyber war right now. And at the same time is when we're in peacetime. This is creating a mess that we have to work out. And it's going to be tough to work it out. because you've got essentially a smartphone, an iPhone, any of these things are crime scenes. And all the FBI wants is to get the data off it. And we're seeing, we're bumping up into this where we have privacy and security concerns for the public and corporations not wanting to get in trouble with their clients or have to help the corrupt countries that they also choose to make billions in. Yeah. So it's a mess. And the courts and the Congress are way behind. So we have a perfect storm here of a large problem of getting the FBI help in defending us.
Michael, cut the baby in two. Where are we? I mean, how do we deal with this? I mean, because clearly, you know, for the safety of, and our national security issues, we need the information. And how far, you know, in terms of privacy rights, do we cut into that baby in order to find balance?
We're going to have the checks and balances doing its job. We have an administration that's having corruption that's not being, that the public thing is not being solved and no one's being held accountable. When you have that going on, trust in government goes down across the board. And that's why you're seeing people trust the FBI less. So the baby isn't cut easily. We're going to have to look in the mirror and make hard choices. Do we want, you know, it's really a level of degrees. There's some people that are absolutists about privacy and security. And I just think that is, it's being very Pollyannish.
Yeah.
Because we're all in a big soup. And, you know, it's going to boil down to the Supreme Court if Congress doesn't act. And the public's going to have to decide. And I think, I mean, you look at the public right now, they're pretty split, kind of in more in the favor of the FBI.
Right. Well, you speak of the trust. You speak of the trust issue, Michael. How much is the trust issue regarding the Hillary emails coming into play, too? Because people are saying, okay, let's see how the FBI handles this situation. Mrs. Clinton says it's a review. The FBI doesn't hold reviews. They hold investigations. So she's trying to approach this and mollify this and blunt the the spear as much as she can at this point. In part, you can't blame her, but she's not helping the cause here.
Oh, no. She's a pure politician spinning as we observe. And she is part of the problem in the loss of trust in government, which you've seen going on for the last 30 years. I mean, from the blue dress on. And we've had the second term of Obama has been just one thing after another. I really started with Benghazi. And the loss of trust because no accountability. And Americans are not involved with the political process daily. They're the baby out the bathwater. The irony is then you're trusting a big corporation. That's so ironic. It you know, because Apple's not going to come to our national. So who's going to?
Right.
That's the bigger problem of when we put people in power that talk but don't walk the Constitution and what their jobs are intended to be.
Well, that leaves us very vulnerable, doesn't it?
We are very vulnerable because while we sit there and spin among ourselves and debate all these things, you know, the bad guys are out there conniving and figuring out ways to get in. I mean, you know, it's the complexity of a democracy, and it's a beautiful thing in the sense that it's a great thing that we have these rights and then we can have these in battles. But we have to be able to recognize the inner people that are holding our ankles and get rid of them. Hopefully that's going to be happening in November. But, you know, not to say that people inside the government, are just pure. I mean, this is all trust and verify. It's understanding the separation of powers. And it has to be held uniformly. And, you know, with the Snowden revelations, this part of the government that's not used to public involvement has to do a better job of building trust with the country as well. I think, you know, most Americans are very practical, and they get it. And I think that's why Apple's a surprise that no matter how hard this PR campaign is, you're going to see about half the people so far still siding with the FBI, but... these are very complex issues, and our drive-through mentality of fix it now, give it to me now, or our Twitter attention span isn't going to work with something so complex. But
well, the role and movement of our government is about due process. It's a very tedious process. It was designed that way by our founding fathers, not at the speed of cyberlight. the way it's going right now. So we have those dynamics crashing into one another as well, Michael, right?
That's right, and that makes the fact that our judicial system and congressional system has got to do their job all the more important.
Exactly. Michael Dougherty is with us, senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine. More from Michael after the break. Stay with us, America. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-second walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-second walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. Live.
Hey, we're with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez, just talking with Michael Dougherty off air here about, you know, about Nancy Reagan and the sad news that came down this weekend. Bittersweet, Michael, because you know how much she cared for Ronnie, as she would always refer to him. And, you know, and it's been, you know, when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was that long goodbye that she wrote about. And, you know, we'd like to think that they're together once again. And, you know, you look back and, you know, look at the legacy of the Reagans and what that team did for this country, Nancy and Ronald Reagan. And we keep looking back and remembering, I guess, in a sense, the good old days.
Well, and the role models that they were in living their life, and through observation, you can learn so much from them about love of country, love of each other, you know, love of God. They really lived their life very true to themselves and the United States. And they understood the Constitution, the separation of powers. One of the greatest lines to me is trust and verify, which you're talking about today with Ronald Reagan. That goes down, that teaches us so much, because especially today, I think so many of us don't understand the separation of powers. And when you don't understand the separation of powers and you're not dedicated to the Constitution, you take a lot of heat from people that don't understand it. I mean, when you do understand it, you're still committed to it. And the Reagans were very committed to that Constitution. Mm. They understood the reasons for the separation of power.
Because it's the rule of play, the rule of law. It's what we learn as kids when we were growing up, Michael. There's rules to the game, and there's the way you're supposed to play it. And when you break the rule, there usually is a referee there to throw a penalty flag in order to level out the playing field so you're back to playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. But unfortunately, in our government, with activist judges and people that have lost sight of the rules, that want to continue to color outside of the lines and violate our constitutional rights, you know, we're getting obliterated. This is why we're destroyed, because so many people today, and I'm sad, and I believe that the institutions today owe the millennials one big, humongous apology, because they have been indoctrinated. They have been taught in such a way that are, you know, they're totally antithetical to the founding principles of this country. Is it any wonder that America in the 21st century is lost?
No, it's not. And this goes back to how those rules really are part of the human condition. And nature will smack you in the face if you don't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a smack in the face because politicians that save us and throw rose petals in our path fool those that don't understand the reason for the separation of powers, and then you get this type of unaccountable corruption that we're seeing in such a short amount of time, which then flows over into, you know, anarchy by choosing Trump or Sanders. I mean, it's just insane.
Right.
And we're seeing that as a symptom, this huge amount of people that are just frustrated, but they are lost. And, you know, the Constitution is an amazing thing in human history. It really is. And, you know, I still believe in the country so much, but this is just a stage where we, yes, get smacked, you know, and reminded and learn. And every generation has to learn. But we've stopped teaching people history, and that means they're destined to repeat mistakes if they don't learn from it. That's the problem.
As you say, Michael, there are inherent laws in the universe that we kick against, and if we violate them, we're going to pay the price. My dad used to say, sometimes, son, people have to fall off the building and hit the ground hard to realize there is the law of gravity. And this is what this country is realizing, that there are certain laws that we have violated. I mean, it's amazing to me when you hear, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, you know, Democrats talking about, you know, what they're doing to create jobs. And empirically, you look about this country and you see where progressives and Democrats like them are leading cities, leading, you know, states. And it's an absolute disaster. And yet they talk like they're the saviors of the world and they're going to straighten it out. Well, wait a minute. You guys have been running the country. You've been running the states. I mean, look what happened in California. It's a one-party state run by the Democrats, of, for, and by Democrats, and they've absolutely destroyed California.
And, well, it's so ironic. I was just in San Francisco for a week, and the sanctuary city is full of homeless people. It's more dangerous, but the cognitive dissonance of not blaming themselves within the population is it's just amazing. It's just the dot connecting does not exist, and it's terrifying.
Well, it's almost like they do need, I guess maybe they do need a Donald Trump to come in, and maybe that he's the human defibrillator or something to kind of shock people's systems into thinking, because there's no voice that seems to be breaking through the clutter here to get people to realize. I mean, in the Hispanic culture, I always talk about the abuelas. My grandmother used to look at us when we were being stupid, and she didn't have to say anything. She'd just look at you, you know, with that look, that grandma look, and
yeah,
you knew you were being an idiot. And if you didn't get it then shortly thereafter, there was like a chancla, you know, a house slipper that would go flying over your head. And God forbid that she was, you know, rolling tortillas, because if she was rolling tortillas, that meant the rolling pin was coming. And if she hit you with that rolling pin, it was going to hurt, but it was going to knock some sense into you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and ironically, that's love and caring. That's not child abuse.
No, exactly.
But,
yeah.
You know, and yet we are so committed to comfort and short attention span theater and not paying attention. It's amazing. I'm hopeful, though, when I see the droves of people coming out in these primaries, regardless of who they're voting for, and people understanding. I'm always an optimist. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I was an optimist in 2012. I was depressed after, but I'm a real optimist for 16. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what happens, and the process, because you wonder why everyone's fired up and kind of engaged and emotional. No matter where you're at least people are juiced up. Instead of 12, where I thought people were like being led like lambs to slaughter without knowing what they were doing, I see more.
In 12, people were worn out. They just surrendered, you know. And look at the way they reacted. And we had such, you know, few numbers going to the polls. And you're right. Today, we've got more people going to polls. Donald Trump, like him, hate him, do whatever. But man, he is bringing people out to vote, and he's engaging, you know, the public politic. And that's what's needed if we're going to get this country back on track. We've been saying all hands on deck. We need everybody doing some heavy lifting here, because we've got $19 trillion of dead weight to get off our shoulders here, ladies and gentlemen.
It's incredible. But it is, the process is amazing, and isn't it a great thing, and aren't we fortunate? But it's interesting to go back. The Democrat debate last night in Detroit was just Spin City. You know, this cognitive dissonance, like, you know, taking a complete government meltdown in Flint and turning it into a Republican problem and completely misrepresenting the EPA's involvement. And you wonder, people are paying attention to that and believing it. This is what has to stop. You can disagree all day long, but this rewriting history and exploiting people's short attention span is a complete credibility loss, and hopefully we're going to find such a shallow bench over there because of it. That's different than just, you know, I mean, that's just making stuff up.
Well, the Democrats need to wake up. Their party has been hijacked by this kind of knuckleheaded mindedness that you know, allows them to, you know, drink this Kool-Aid and for them to elect officials that continue to bring them one disaster after another. It is not the Republicans' fault. It's the people you've elected, and you're looking at somebody who's been a career politician, and she says, hey, I can get you out of the mess. Well, you've had 20 years. What have you done for us lately? And what have you done for us at all? Can I ask that question?
And it's exploiting the poor for the vote. It's exploiting the poor. And the track record is unconscionable. It's terrible. Look at Flint.
Exactly. He's the author of the book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, The Shocking Exposé of the U.S. Government's Surveillance and Overreach into Cybersecurity. Michael Dougherty has been with us. Michael, thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Jen London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Nowadays, there are millions of people with old smartphones, iPads, tablets, you name it, just sitting around collecting dust. And if those are improperly disposed of, well, they contain unsafe toxic materials harmful to you and the environment. But now, these devices can be used as a painless way to help support your favorite GCN shows. Visit DonateMyCell.com. Donations are tax deductible, and if you donate 10 or more devices, you'll receive a special free gift offer. That's DonateMyCell.com. DonateMyCell.com.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with a Ladybug steam vapor system. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
You think it's easy being him?
Everything can be fixed if you're willing to pay for it.
So, who's gonna be our super high roller?
Bill Martinez live. Who else?
Everything can be fixed, but why don't we fix it based on the facts and the truth of the matter, okay? What a big difference that might make. Jim Ha founded the Gateway Pundit blog in 2004 after the presidential election 11 years later. The Gateway Pundit is a leading right-of-center news website with his stories frequently linked on the Drudge Report. Jim, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Oh, thanks, Bill. Good to be with you.
Hey, I really appreciate your perspective on one Bernie Sanders. I mean, this is amazing to me how little people know about Bernie Sanders. I guess I'm still shocked that they're willing to get behind somebody who says, hey, look, I'm out of the closet. Forget about, you know, picking bones or whatever. I'm a socialist and get over it. And you've got a lot of people, especially young millennials, who are following him like the Pied Piper. But it's like, wait a minute, let's look at this guy's history. If you want to see what somebody is, you know, what they're going to do, look at what they've done. And you've done the research. Tell our audience what you found and discovered about Bernie Sanders.
Well, Bill, you're absolutely right. A lot of people don't know anything about this man, and he actually won two out of the three primaries this past weekend for the Democrat Party. Here's a guy who reportedly did not hold a full-time job and get a steady paycheck until he was age 40. He was basically a bum. He graduated from college, got some money from somewhere, an inheritance, bought some rundown shack in Vermont with a dirt floor. His first wife ran off on him. He was didn't hold a steady job, so he was always, his electricity was shut off constantly. And these are his friends that are saying these things. So he'd poach electricity from his neighbors or the basement or somewhere. He'd drive around in a beat-up Volkswagen and preach about socialism to anybody who'd listen. bash the United States, capitalism. And then he finally, wormed his way into politics. And from there, that's, you know, we know where he is today, a senator of the state of Vermont.
Yeah. And part of his upbringing, of course, as you were saying, I guess this was after graduating and his wife leaving him. I mean, this guy's writing about, about masturbation and rape for left-wing rags for $50 a story. Look, I know we've all had to do some rough things in our lives to get where we are, and I don't fault him for that. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, we're considering him as a president of the United States, somebody who has failed to launch until he's 40 years old. Are you kidding me?
Hey, it's unbelievable. And the fact that there's so many young millennials, as you said, who know nothing about economics, all they have to do is open their eyes and look at Venezuela and the catastrophe that country, you know, is experiencing right now under socialism. These kids that they're following just blindly, this kook who has no idea what he's talking about, the reality of what his policies will bring on this nation, it's frightening, actually, Bill.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, even the other part of your article, you write about how, you know, he used an extension cord in order to steal electricity and run it down to his basement because he couldn't pay his bills. I mean, is it any wonder somehow in his psychology that he thinks that, you know, there should be a leveling playing field, even if it, you know, if you have to rob from other people, but not necessarily the rich, just rob from people who can pay their bills, because this guy's too lazy to take care of his own business.
Isn't that something?
I mean, that's amazing when you think about the kind of character this guy was, and this is the root of who this man is 40 years later, right?
Oh, yeah. He was redistributing the wealth back then when he posted his electricity.
Unbelievable. You see, kids, this is who you're following here. I mean, you got to know about this, but, you know, people aren't going to talk about it. It's just the surf is up, and they all got their political surfboards out, and they're riding the wave of Bernie Sanders, thinking, hey, he's so cool, because so he's anti-establishment and everything else. But, you're rather myopic in understanding this. And unfortunately, Jim, this is what professors in the colleges are training our kids to believe.
You're absolutely right, Bill. And the thing, too, that is really startling is that he's ranting about the economy today and how, there's this unlevel balance between the rich and the poor. And yet, you know, it's been Barack Obama who's been in office the last 8 years, and it's only gotten worse, this inequality. So people aren't even thinking when they're listening to this man talk.
Well, this is the problem. See, it's all based on theory, and that's Barack Obama the same way. I mean, I just see, you know, a lot of his theories coming out of the coffee rooms of college campuses, where you get all these professors sitting around and, you know, dreaming dreams and talking about what ifs and what have you. And dangerously now, we have a professor in the White House that is taking these theories to practice. And for the last 8 years, I mean, to me, it is conclusive evidence that these theories just don't work.
That's pretty clear, Bill. You know, I was talking with Glenn Reynolds. He's a law professor at the University of Tennessee, and he's the founder of InstaPundit, a very popular website for conservatives. And he said that I asked him about Barack Obama. He said that it's like a dime a dozen in a college break room, just like you said. Mm-hmm. They all think this way, and just a bunch of kooks. Now we see, and we're the ones left suffering from their policies.
Well, here we are. We're $19 trillion in debt. The people agree, Jim. We're on the wrong track. I say, good observation. Now, what are we going to do about it? You know, Jim, in any kind of business operation, in my background, though mostly in broadcasting, the business side has been a big part of my acumen as well. And one of the things I always appreciated about effective CEOs is when they were looking at their companies and suddenly they found a downturn, they would stop. And the ones that were more successful, the ones that would stop sooner than later, get everybody together and say, okay, where did we make a wrong turn somewhere? And here in our country and with our government and our bureaucracy, nobody does this. We just, you know, we just keep saying, okay, we'll figure it out. We'll just keep spending more money. It's not their money. It's the people's money. They say it's the government. And it drives me nuts when they say it's the government's money. It's our money. I mean, this is money that they've taken from our hard work, our, you know, our taxes, and they've abused them. And in any other company, there would be malfeasance involved. There would be a liability, accountability, fiduciary responsibility. People would be going to jail, but not in this government.
You're absolutely right. And I think, we're starting to see a revolution, if you will. That's one of Bernie Sanders' favorite lines. But it's a movement against the establishment, because people are starting, they've had enough of these horrible policies that are punishing the middle class. And we're seeing that in the voting booth this election cycle.
Well, you know, I like the idea that a revolution is happening, but let's revolt for the right reasons. Let's do so based on the facts, right, Jim?
Amen to that, Bill.
Well, what do you see happening here within the Republican Party? You talk about the disruption of the Democrats. I mean, their party has been absolutely hijacked. You got two people that are really bookends of one another, and it's all insane. And I mean, I don't know how to find the Democratic Party within the context of one Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, and then you have the Republican Party, which is in disarray right now because of one Donald Trump.
Yeah, I we've never seen anything like this in politics. You have a GOP front runner who's bringing in millions of new voters. I just put up an article this morning that 1,000 Democrats switched parties to vote for Trump in the primary, and this is in one county in Ohio. And we've never seen anything like this, and now they're attacking the front runner. It's really bizarre. It's a strange year. Mm-hmm. But the energy certainly is with the Republicans right now.
Well, can Trump do it by converting Democrats? Are there enough Democrats to make up the difference?
I think we're seeing that right now. Yeah, I believe so.
Wow. Well, Jim Hoft has been with us. Jim founded the Gateway Pundit blog in 2004 after the presidential election. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 before the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Faith leaders everywhere are filled with praise for the young Messiah. Dr. Ted Baer calls it an exhilarating family experience.
You seek a family from Nazareth with a boy named Jesus.
Focus on the Family calls it a remarkable movie.
Why did God choose me? What if I'm not strong enough?
And Hugh Hewitt Raves is a spectacular movie that should not be missed.
He's just a child.
He's not just a child.
The Young Messiah, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Friday.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I've maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10 Tuna Chew weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10 Tuna Chew could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro-1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-USA.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
It's time for us to do something.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Craig Shirley is with us. Always good to have Craig with us, president of Shirley and Bannister PR, a political commentator, author of best-selling works concerning U.S. history, such as December 1941, 31 Days That Changed America and Saved the World, the Ronald Reagan books, Rendezvous with Destiny, Reagan's Revolution, and Last Act. Craig is an authority on Reagan, having lectured at the Reagan Library as the visiting Reagan Scholar at Eureka College and a member of the Board of Governors of the Reagan Ranch. Craig Shirley, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I know it is a bit with heavy heart that we have to talk about one of your friends. You knew Nancy and Ronald Reagan so well, and her passing at the age of 94 this weekend, bittersweet, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it interesting? They both got to 94 before they passed away, which kind of sums up how simpatico they were. But you know, as I thought about it, ever since I heard about her passing, Bill, and they proved the old adage is true: opposites attract. Mm. He was country, she was city. He preferred simple food. She liked gourmet food. Is that he was more conservative? She was more moderate. She was the tougher parent and taskmaster. He was softer on the children. So in so many ways, they were opposites, but they attracted to each other.
They respected one another. They gave space for their differences. Sure.
You know, and anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it was rather amazing, and I think a real example for the rest of us, Craig.
Yes, they really preferred each other's company. They were best friends, they were soulmates, and they were perfectly happy, you know, being by themselves at Camp David or at the ranch or the West Wing. It's one of the great love stories in the history of the White House.
Why was Nancy so misunderstood?
Oh, I think because, you know, she came on the heels of Rosalynn Carter and Betty Ford. And the Washington press corps just wasn't going to give her a break. You know, she, you know,
brought in a sense of style and glamour and restored it to the White House where Jackie Kennedy ironically used to have it. Mm-hmm. But they were conservative Republicans and they weren't liberal Democrats, so they were always going to be harshly treated by the Washington Press Corps, especially by the style section of the Washington Post, which really went very hard against Mrs. Reagan for 8 years. You know, even in Reagan's passing, they ran very, very nasty stories about the state of their marriage and whether he was really a good football player, Eureka. I mean, there was no depth to which they couldn't reach to try to trash the Reagans.
Amazing. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, the money that she raised to... to improve, well, Alzheimer's, but also to improve the White House. Going back to, you know, her role as First Lady, saying,
right,
look, she wanted to bring elegance back to the White House, deservedly so, because it was the people's house.
Sure.
And she respected that in a dramatic way. And it wasn't that she took the people's money. She raised it privately among her friends, right?
Yeah, she said the White House china, which she got unfairly tarnished with, the process had already started before, but they needed to raise additional money. But she said it was a mess. Is that there were mismatched plates and there were chip plates and there was missing silverware and, you know, had been stolen over the years or lost or missing whatever. And it was just embarrassing to try to hold a state dinner when you know the White House china was in such disarray. So she set about to bring back a sense of style and at least have matching cups and saucers at state
exactly.
dinners.
If they were so irritated by the china, why didn't they pack that up with the Reagans when they left the White House? Huh?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. But yes, also, you know, she mentioned the long goodbye about her life with Ronald Reagan after it was announced in, what was it, 95, that he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
November 94.
Yeah. So the long goodbye, and she was at the forefront of raising lots of money for Alzheimer's, stem cell research and that.
And raising awareness too.
And
he acknowledged her contributions likewise in his letter, in which he mentioned that her being so forthright and honest about her breast cancer helped raise public awareness of the dangers of breast cancer.
And she thought that maybe she made a mistake in having a mastectomy, that maybe it's put out the wrong message. There was a lot of different thoughts. I mean, first of all, you're dealing with your own personal health, and
right.
then, you know, you have the moment and the mindset to consider, but what message am I sending out to the rest of the American public as the First Lady? I mean, that was astounding to me that she would even pause a moment to consider that.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a different time, and it was very, you know, it was kind of not discussed in public, so it was pretty courageous of her to go so be so forthright and public about it.
Well, Craig, I've got a soundbite here from CNN that I want to play right now for everybody, and then I want you to comment on it. Scott, set that up for us, would you?
Ronnie and Nancy, it was truly an American love story.
I can't imagine marriage being any other way but the way that Ronnie's and mine was.
Born Anne Frances Robbins in New York City, she lived and grew up in Chicago. As an adult, she headed west to Hollywood to become an actress. One of her last screen appearances was playing opposite her future husband. Soon after, they wed. Nancy was always gazing at him with that loving stare.
Now, congratulations, sir.
I don't remember thinking anything except that, my gosh, here he is, and he's president.
Nancy Reagan's signature was appearing in designer gowns. She battled breast cancer and survived. She also used her influence to launch an anti-drug program, which was reduced to a simple phrase, just say no.
I didn't mean that that was the whole answer, obviously, but it did serve a purpose.
After she and her husband left Washington, Ronald Reagan was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
It's sad to see somebody you love and have been married for so long, and you can't share memories.
Do you ever feel that fate treated you badly?
No, uh-uh. No, when you balance it all out, I've had a pretty fabulous life.
You know, Craig, she said that when she married Ronald Reagan, she thought she was marrying an actor And then she realized, goes, he's a politician.
Right, 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 right. But I think that it was something for her to say that she had a remarkable life because she was basically abandoned by her natural father, and her mother only later married Dr. Loyal Davis, who was a prominent Chicago neurosurgeon. But you think about her life as Smith College as an actress and the wife of a governor, the wife of a president of the United States, and then, leaving, having such a direct hand in his legacy, everything from the library to even the Republican debates, have Nancy Reagan's fingerprints on them. So it was, and to live a full, Christian life she did, to age 94, it really was a remarkable life.
Exactly. I was reminding some friends from California. I said, he was the first governor, speaking of Ronald Reagan, to ever give money back to the people. And they said, what?
That's right.
A governor gave money back? I said, yes, absolutely. He started running.
$500 million.
Exactly. I remember getting a $750 check. And I thought, wow. And in my lifetime, it was really special. But it definitely points, even to this day, for those Californians that experience that, Craig, that this is possible when government is run the way it should run.
Right. I remember at the time in 1970, Bill, is that there was some discussion because he had done such a good job cutting waste, fraud, and abuse and tightening spending and producing a growing economy there that there was a $500 million surplus. And some of his aides were advocating spending on new programs and this and that. He said, wait a minute, this is the people's money. We're going to give it back to them. Yeah.
What a novel concept,
this is
right?
Our money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Wow. And Craig, back to Nancy Reagan. What do you think the best epithet for her will be?
Oh, I think she made a good man a great man, or she had a hand in making him. I think he would have been great anyway, but she certainly had a hand in making a great man a happy man. She had a hand in, she understood that the health and welfare and morale of the country was dependent in many ways on the health and morale and of the President of the United States. And so, her job was to be his confidant, his soulmate, to buck him up, and because it was important not just for him, for his psyche, but for the psyche of the country. And so I think that, it's a long epitaph, but I've got to think about how to shorten it. But she believed in Ronald Reagan when nobody else or few people believed in Ronald Reagan.
They were both better because of each other, weren't they?
Yes. The total. That's it. Mm-hmm. The total was greater than the sum of the parts.
Exactly. Yeah. And to look back and to see their relationship, and I mean, they're human beings. Did they make mistakes? Certainly they did. And with their family and extended family and the dynamics of all the kids and with Michael and Ron and Maureen and them, I mean, there's a lot of personalities all rolled in there.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely. But most presidential families have a lot of personalities. Teddy Roosevelt had a daughter, Alice, and she was very, very carefree, outgoing, vivacious,
right,
troublesome. And he was told about Alice getting into trouble, and he said, "Look," he said, "I can control Alice, so I can be president of the United States." I can.
That's it. That's simple. Craig Shirley, I'm Bill Martinez.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.